Well, the sheriffs and the chiefs of police have been leaders on this issue. I bring this issue forward as a matter of public policy because of what they have educated me on in the last years and the revolving door for violent criminals, drug traffickers, and sex offenders. And I want to make clear, it's drug traffickers, not people who possess drugs or have a drug problem of their own. It's drug traffickers. So the sheriffs have been great. All the transparency that we can put on this matter, this public discussion has been outstanding. It has engaged a lot of people. There were senators who voted against us, who grabbed me afterward and said, "Hey, we see there's a problem. We see the trouble that you've highlighted here." One of them in particular, a good friend, a Democrat from Fargo, told him flat out, like, I see the problem. I see that there's a problem here. I don't agree with your solution, Drew, but, you know, I appreciate that. That's a good, candid discussion. And we can have those. Go back 2 years. It was a different proposal. We had it for mandatory minimums for people committing violent offenses with firearms. That was the same thing. Got derailed over in the House by some of the same people who derailed it this time. Interestingly, and one of the things that they were complaining about was that our bill, that bill 2 years ago, didn't let judges have the discretion. The judges were in the perfect position to pass the right sentence, to listen to the defense argument, the state's argument, look at the criminal history, look at what took place in this case, talk about the victim, all that. And that was one of their biggest pushbacks. So we came back 2 years later with truth in sentencing, saying, okay, well, everybody wants to respect the judges, and so do we. We want to respect that they've made the sacred decision about how long should somebody serve for victimizing that person in that community in that fashion. And what we found was, here we go, same resistance from some of the very same people. Now they're resistant to judges having their orders respected. Apparently, what they're really saying is that small body of lawmakers, they want to, and I guess, see bureaucrats make these decisions. Well, the bureaucrats are making the decisions. We've documented over and over and over where they've let them out at a fraction of the time. The public is not served by that. The victimization goes on and on and on. There are columnists that want to take us to task for that and say, well, Drew Wrigley's too animated about this, and he gets too passionate about this. And yeah, I've been a prosecutor off and on for 30 years. I've dealt with too many victims of too many crimes and seen the foolish policies that treat criminals like this whole system's about them. Like, how can we make their life better? How can we make them happier? How can we give them hope? I'm not mocking them. I've talked to plenty of those folks too. What I'm saying is, punishment matters. Incarceration for an appropriate period of time matters. It protects the public during that time. It provides a deterrent. And then it also cuts down on recidivism. People saying, you know what, I actually got sentenced to 4 years. I had to serve that time, or six. I had to serve that time, and I don't want to go back. That matters. And, this debate this is far from over. It's far from over. The public is engaged. I appreciate that. A number of legislators are engaged, and the men and women in uniform in this state are not going to relent, nor should they. We've carried this banner. We've done it for them. We have done it for victims, and we're not going to stop. We appreciate this discussion, but it's just starting.
So don't expect anything out of this session. This debate's going to have to go on for another 2 years.
Well, we're going to have to see. We don't, as of right now, we're still, they offer up the amendment, a couple of these folks, and they cite the things as reasons for their amendment, which is gutted truth in sentencing. They cite the things that just aren't true. One of the things that they like to say is, oh, well, North Dakota already has an 85% law. Two things about that. It applies to just a fraction, just a small number of violent crimes, and leaves out a wide variety of horrible violent crimes. And it's also not a true 85% rule. They don't have to serve the 85% locked up in prison. There's a myth that, oh, just the parole board lets these people out, so that's okay. It's also not true. I've talked to members of the parole board. Not uncommon at all to be presented with someone potentially for parole, and they look down and they read through and they realize that person's already, DOC already put them back in the community. And I was told by a member of the parole board, if they vote, say, oh, no way, you guys let this guy out. There's no way he should be out. Guess what happens? Your listeners could guess what happens. Nothing. They don't send him back to the prison. That's straight from a parole board member. They don't even have to earn good time. They give it to you when you walk in the door. They do your calculation, and they tell you when you'll be out. And they'll tell you that, in theory, they can take away their good time that they gave you when you walked in the door and you haven't earned it. But it's routine that they do not. They define success in weird ways that you and I wouldn't define success. They've got an escape problem from the halfway houses. They are not secure. The halfway houses, the public is not protected too often. Halfway houses have a role in our system. The public supports that. But now there's been daylight shed on what's actually going on. And when people look around their communities and say something is changing and not for the better when it comes to violent crime and crime in our communities, the public is right about that. And they're calling out for us to do something. And a good starting point is truth in the sentences that get passed for the people who've already been convicted, have already victimized our individuals, our people, and our communities in North Dakota.